You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, hey, Wisconsin. What is up? It's time to Nightlight. Let's light it up. Let's do it right. It's a Monday. We are starting a new week here at Nightlight. All weekend, I sit around waiting to do this show again, and it's so much fun to be back in this chair in front of this mic, hanging out with the lovable producer, Conrad. You can't go wrong, folks. Welcome to Nightlight. Wherever you're joining us from, in your part of the state, it's great to have you. Whether you're joining us over the radio, on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. What else, Conrad? How else can people see the show?
Well, to go in more depth on YouTube and Facebook and X, we're under Civic Media YouTube and WGBW, Facebook Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, and on Twitter or X, Civic Media or WGBW.
That works. However you find us, just find us. Yeah, give us a like if you want or a follow. It's always great to be appreciated. And we have a fun show tonight. This is exciting because this is the eve of October. It's October Eve. October is, you know, by and large, first of all, this has been the greatest September ever, weather-wise. It has been so gorgeous. And here in Northeast Wisconsin, anyway, the leaves are just starting to turn. And it seems like already winter is going to be a little bit shorter because of that. So that's kind of cool. We've got all of October to look forward to starting tomorrow. Leaves changing. High school, college, professional football. High school theater happening all over the state. Really cool movies coming out this fall on the heels of great movies that came out in the summer. So there's that. There's scary movies in October. There's Halloween right around the corner. It is a festive and very fun time of year. And we are kicking it all off tonight. This is October Eve. It's going to be a great month. And we've got a lot of fun things to help kick it off tonight. At 6:35, Northeast Wisconsin filmmakers Dan Davies and Craig Kinnett will be here in the studio talking about an event they are sort of putting together, sponsoring this upcoming weekend to honor Bill Rabane, the director, and his cult classic, The Giant Spider Invasion. We've had Bill on the show probably a couple months ago. He was a really fun interview. He's an older guy now. He's probably 80. I want to say he was 87 or 88. But it was so much fun to talk to Bill. Craig was here to sort of help set that up. And we got Bill on the phone and had a great talk. And he is a really fascinating guy. So this is exciting. I didn't know much about him before I met these guys. So it's exciting that they're doing this event to honor this film, which has been a cult classic. It was shot here in Wisconsin. And to this day, people still find The Giant Spider Invasion. And you can find it this weekend. They're going to tell us how to get tickets. It's happening in Wyweega. And it sounds like a really fun event. So I'm happy to have those guys in the studio. I'll let them tell you more about it. And then at 7:20, our old buddy Frank Anderson from Wisconsinology will be here also to help us kick off October. Frank has so many great, creepy, weird stories on Wisconsinology that I have several I want to ask him about. And this is a great – both sets of guests are just a great way to kick off October. So very excited to have both of them on. And with Frank, I'm going to talk a little bit about Kris Kristofferson and his legacy. Kris passed away. I said Kris like I knew him, like we were on first name basis. Kris Kristofferson passed away over the weekend. He was 88, an absolute giant in show business, whether it was country music, making films. He was in the original A Star Is Born with Barbara Streisand. Barbara Streisand said she saw him playing, I think it was at the Troubadour in L.A., one of those old famous clubs. And she said she immediately knew she wanted him to do this movie. And she hardly knew him. Maybe just knew of him. But he was a really phenomenal pay-it-forward kind of guy who had one of those old-school lives. Like, I feel like Conrad, most of your friends, they get out of college and they go into their field, right?
Yeah.
Is that pretty much how it works?
Yeah, I would say pretty close.
Same here. And you know, that's what you have to do. You need a job. I guess a few friends of mine like went into the service maybe a few. But back when my dad was younger, they all went into the service. They all, like my dad and my uncles, joined the Marines. It was just part of what you did. But I think that's kind of gone away a little bit. But Kris Kristofferson's life, it was like, I feel like I was reading about Jimmy Stewart or some of these really old-time guys that, you know, they go to college, then they join the military, then they dig ditches for a while and they do this, and then he's got something to write about, and all of a sudden, bam, he's this great songwriter. Those guys and girls really aren't around as much anymore. I don't think, anyway. You don't hear about these people that take these interesting paths anymore into show business, or, you know, it's pretty much you're programmed right out of school to go into your job. And even if it is show business, you take acting classes, whatever, you study music, you go into music. You play baseball, you join the minor leagues, you go to the big leagues. You know, I love the variety. And when I was reading about Kris Kristofferson and the different parts of his life, it just fascinated me, in addition to stories I had already heard about him. So we'll talk about that with Frank. Frank is a phenomenal musician. He's played with, still plays with Butch Vig and just famous producers and musicians. He's very respected. So we'll talk about Kris Kristofferson with Frank, and we'll do a little Wisconsinology and some demon talk and spirit talk and all that kind of stuff. A really fun show. And this is the month of Halloween. So our question tonight, in honor of the eve of October, what is your favorite Halloween candy? I would love to know. And you know what? Let's do that. You could share your least favorite as well. Butterscotch candy?
Milk Duds.
Milk Duds? God, Milk Duds were like the bomb 50 years ago.
Those, I can't, if I get Milk Duds, I just throw it away or just give it to someone else.
Yeah, it's depressing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's like almost candy.
You know what's actually really good that's kind of like it in sort of way is Bits O' Honey.
You know, I think Bit O' Honey's better.
It is, 100%.
Yeah.
I will eat that.
And it's the honey.
Yeah.
That's why, like, Milk Duds is like sort of, well, it's chocolate flavored, but it's not really chocolate. It's like the Yoo-Hoo of candy.
Yeah.
You know, need more.
I just don't like those candies that really get stuck in your teeth.
Yeah.
And Milk Duds and Bit O' Honey is one of those. But for the honey flavor, I'm like, all right, I can do it.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I would agree with you there. That's probably one of my least favorite. The butterscotch candy was always terrible. You always got those at old people's houses. The peanut butter, like the, I don't even know if they still make them. They had like black and orange wrappers, and it was just like a piece of chewy peanut butter candy.
I don't think I've ever had that.
Oh, God. And then they had Toffee Fae, and their big marketing campaign, like in the early 1980s, was Toffee Fae, it's too good for kids. Like trying to do this thing where, hey, we want to get kids to buy this, so let's tell them it's too good for them. And guess what? Nobody gave a crap about Toffee Fae anyway. They messed up. Like, it's hard to go wrong with toffee. Toffee's great.
Yeah.
In chocolate or in peppermint. They messed it up. But people would give it out sometimes at Halloween. I don't know. My favorite, I think, to get were always Snickers, because that showed that people made a little effort, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Snickers were great. Kit Kat. I stick with the usual, I guess. A Crackle. Crackle candy, the Hershey's Kiss type candy.
Oh, yes.
Those are always good.
Crackle is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Or Twix.
Yeah, Twix is good.
And I always liked Skittles.
God, I remember, I think one year when I was about 14, I had like 30 little packages of Skittles. I put all of them in my mouth at once. I had sugar overload, and my friends were like cheering me on. I was like Paul Newman and Cool Hand Luke eating 50 eggs. And yeah, Skittles are great too. But and the powder, what's the powder? Like
Pixie Sticks?
Pixie Sticks, yeah. Yes. That's just like straight sugar. Yeah. That's so, I mean, at least with a Snickers bar or Twix, there's a little nuance. You got nougat.
Yep.
You got caramel, chocolate. So that's good. I would say Twix is up there too.
Yeah. When I was a kid in school, like around Halloween, the teacher would always give some candy out or whatever. I always remember getting just so many Smarties.
So many Smarties. Yeah. Oh, those are great too.
Those are really good.
They just kind of dissolve in your mouth. Yep. Those were fantastic.
I'd have like 30 of them after like the Halloween day at school.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I'll go Twix. You know what? I'll go Snickers. I initially said Snickers. I don't want to steal your answer. You said Twix.
Yep.
What do you say, ladies and gentlemen? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Maybe a more clever way to pose the question would have been, what is the Halloween candy you buy to hand out that you are most likely to eat most of it? So let us know. You can let us know on the stream or on the text line. We'll read your answer on the radio. What, on the eve of October, what's your favorite Halloween candy? And if you want to share terrible ones, you can do that too. We don't discriminate here. So, all right, let's get this out of the way, Conrad. You were pretty pumped to go to the Packer game yesterday.
Yeah.
We'll give you a minute here, and then there'll be a short break. You can wipe your tears away. It must have been exciting, but also kind of a drag. It's so weird. Like, sporting events cost so much money. When you put that money down and then you go see them and they lose, especially in heartbreaking fashion, do you feel kind of gypped? I don't know. I always kind of do. And I never cared. Like, when I was a kid, I went to a ton of sporting events. They didn't cost as much. Now it's like you drop $1,000 and your team comes up short. It's like, you know, you're paying good money for that. So, all right. I saw the score initially, and I was like, oh my gosh, the Packers are done, whatever. I was talking to my dad about it. And then we were watching the Bears and the Rams, and I saw on the ticker, I'm like, it was like 31-28 or whatever. It was like, what?
Yeah.
We flipped over. And I was thinking about you, but what? Did Minnesota like go to sleep because they had such a big lead, or did the Packers just come back crushing it, or what?
I will say, yeah, in the second half, the Vikings looked a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah.
But also our defense finally woke up. I think they came out of the locker room. They're like, okay, why are we down to the Vikings divisional game? We need to liven up, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't have Alexander, and he was out, which was a crucial thing we needed.
Right.
But, I mean, what I saw in the second half, I mean, it lifted my spirits because I was at the game, as you said. I got completely baked. I'm a Red Lobster right now. And I had a Vikings fan right in front of me. Which was funny is he said, 9 years I've been here, haven't won once.
They struggle outside of the dome. And yeah, I don't know. That was brutal. But I will say, I thought there was a bad call on that first down. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about this. And then the actor John Ashton, who passed away from Midnight Run. And also Beverly Hills Cop. So we'll do that coming up next on Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
1, 2, 3, 4!
I'm not saying boo. I'm saying Bruce. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite Halloween candy? And you can also answer, if you have a least favorite, that's fine to share as well. Let us know. And we have a caller who wants to discuss said topic. Conrad, who are we talking to?
Larry.
Larry, how are you?
Hey, not bad. On the way home here. Yeah, this is for a least favorite.
Okay.
And I'm quite past the trick-or-treating door-to-door as a child age. But there was always somebody in the neighborhood in the 60s and 70s that would hand this stuff out. And I was so overjoyed when I heard they were going to cease production a while ago. Necco wafers.
Oh, wow. I don't even know what that is. What is that?
Okay. Do you have kids?
I do.
You do? Okay. They got sidewalk chalk?
Yes.
Picture taking sidewalk chalk and slicing it thin and then calling it candy and handing it out to kids.
Nesco.
That's a Necco wafer.
Okay. I do remember wacky
it was
wafers.
Chalky. It was thin. It was terrible. If I got them, I'd throw them out.
Those were, I do remember. Well, I remember maybe not that brand, but I know that candy. I think we had wacky wafers.
Yeah.
Same type of deal.
How they could even call it candy because it was not good.
It's probably the person in your neighborhood probably bought them in bulk and save some money or something.
well, they made little, you know, like kid-sized ones for Halloween and all that. And it's like, no, the full-size wafers, but they were smaller, only about an inch long, all wrapped up.
That's
different
hilarious.
Colors. It looks pretty and pastels, and it tasted like chalk.
What, do you have a favorite, Larry?
Pretty much anything chocolate.
Yeah,
you know, from the mini Heath bars to Kit Kats to Hershey's to anything chocolate.
I'm with you there. That's great stuff. Larry, thank you so much. Enjoy your drive home. Be careful. Get home safely and eat some wafers, buddy.
All right. Bye now.
Thanks a lot. All right. That's Larry checking in on the text line. Sherry says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I like a bit of honey. Honey? Well, thank you, Sherry. Sherry's so sweet. So there you go, Conrad. One of your least favorites is one of Sherry's favorites.
Yeah. I said I liked it.
Right. But you kind of lumped it in with
milk duds. Yeah.
So
I would eat the bit of honey, though.
You're in trouble with Sherry. But we won't. Eric from I never know how to say this because I've heard it pronounced Lodi and Lodi. It's Lodi, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Eric from Lodi checks in. He's in the 608. He says, okay, got to make a correction. The first Star is Born was released in 1937. There have been like four versions. That is correct, Eric. I actually knew that, but I kind of forgot. When I was a kid, A Star is Born coming out, I just remember not caring. I was like, I don't know, 5 or 7. And I remember the album cover and Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson. And I was like, wow, this is like a movie I would never want to see. And I got to be honest, I didn't really like the remake either. I said it was boring. So I never saw the Kris Kristofferson Barbara Streisand one, and I never saw the 1937 version. But that's a great correction. Thank you, Eric. Eric always also says, least favorite candy corn and circus peanuts. Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. And he says favorite was the $100,000 bar. That is a great one. That's like a crackle, but with extra crackle in it. $100,000, great. Good stuff. Thanks, Larry. And candy corn, I would agree. Circus peanuts is... I did the Skittle thing with those two once and shoved about 20 circus peanuts in my mouth just to get a sugar rush. I know. It's like a choking hazard, too. Stupid. All right. Let's talk... you were saying about... Oh, let's get off the Packers. You don't want to go back. You don't want to talk about that. It was exciting the comeback, though, I would imagine, even though it came up short. You must have been pretty...
I will say, you know, no matter what is going on in the game, it's always great to be at Lambeau.
So yeah.
I had a good time.
Absolutely. So we have Dan Davies and Craig Kinnick coming up in just a few minutes here to talk about the giant spider invasion and a big event happening this coming weekend with the director of the film, Bill Rabane. He makes his home in northern Wisconsin, which I think is so cool. So we'll talk about that. And then do we have time? Can we do a John Ashton?
We could do that Midnight Run clip.
Let's do the Midnight Run. Is this him talking about Midnight Run? Or
no, that one's a little longer, so we'll wait on that later. But we could do that clip.
This is a great... All right, in Midnight Run, John Ashton plays a bounty hunter. Robert De Niro plays a bounty hunter. And we were just talking about this last week, so it's weird that he passed away over the weekend, but... they both have Charles Grodin, who they're bountying. They're trying to bring him in, and they're competing. But for right now, they're trying to stay alive as the FBI and the mob closes in. The three of them are in a car. Charles Grodin hates both of them, and here we go.
You guys are the dumbest bounty hunters I've ever seen! You couldn't even deliver a bottle of milk!
Where the hell did he go?
You think we lost him?
I don't know. I don't see anything.
Oh, I'm sure we're completely safe.
Oh, God. I love Charles Grodin. Oh, I'm sure we're completely safe. We are kicking off October tonight, ladies and gentlemen. What is your favorite candy? Let us know. You can also tell us your least favorite if you like. But it is October Eve. So much great stuff happening in our state this upcoming month, starting tomorrow. In the way of movies, we've got movies coming out. We're going to be watching scary movies, eating a lot of candy. We're kicking it off tonight. So, and we'll have Frank Anderson here at 7:20 as well to talk about some creepy Wisconsin stuff. He's always great at bringing the goods when it comes to that. And we're going to talk a little bit about the legacy of Kris Kristofferson. And that was a big loss. It wasn't tragic or anything. He was like 88 years old, but just a great guy by all accounts. Conrad, you know what we should have done today? We'll do this tomorrow. Chewing gum. William Wrigley was born today in 1861. Okay. We could do favorite gum tomorrow night.
Okay.
We could just keep a candy theme all week.
I forgot to mention I watched the movie Wolves.
I did too.
I didn't finish it, I gotta say.
Did you not like it?
I tried to watch it twice and I couldn't do it. I got so bored. Funny.
That's where I am with Bad Monkey. I started the second episode of Bad Monkey for the third time last night. I don't know what the deal is. But I got through Wolves. I didn't love it, but I thought it was okay.
I don't know. I just got bored.
Yeah, it was slow. It wasn't like really action-packed or anything. All right. It is the eve of October, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about spiders. Coming up next with Dan Davies and Craig Knitt. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
In your eyes, the light, the heat. The doorway, the thousand churches, the resolution of all the fruitless soldiers.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From the 920, Daniel in Manassas's best candy, Milky Way, worst, Charleston Chew. I'm with you. That is a lot of work. The taste you get back is not worth the effort you put in to the chew. No one has that kind of a jaw where they can just go to town on a Charleston Chew.
What a bit of honey.
Yeah, we talked about bit of honey.
Those are tough, too.
They are, but I don't know. It's got like a different taste to it, I think.
Bit of honey at least has taste.
Yeah, I agree. The Charleston Chew is like sort of, it's like Milk Duddy a little bit.
It's like all of the bubble gum that's on the sidewalk in the city of Charleston that they
just
put together.
Scrape it up and put it in a candy bar. Wow, it's genius.
So
all I know
is that for three Halloweens in a row, I ate all of my candy that night and then hurled it back up that very same night.
Was Charleston Chew part of that?
It very well could have been.
You did that 3 years in a row?
Yep, as a kid.
It's not a mistake if you learn from it, Craig.
I guess. It took three times.
Those are the voices of my in-studio guests. It's great to have these guys here. They are both local filmmakers here in Northeast Wisconsin, Dan Davies and Craig Knitt. Join me in studio. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Pete.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. And Craig, you bought salsa, which is phenomenal.
I've got a little bit of fame with my colleagues at work. Every year they want me to make some.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
You got these nice labels, too. It looks very professional.
Yeah, I change them every year. This Angry Peppers, though, I kind of like that one.
Yeah, that sounds like trouble.
Is that the one you got?
I do. Do I have the hot, the really hot one?
That's the middle one.
Okay.
So the hot one this year, everybody was like, oh, that's not so hot. That's not so hot. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to make one that's going to be really hot. And if you don't have some like sour cream or some other type of dip next to it, good luck.
Why are people like that? Why does even a tomato-based snack, why do we have to turn that into a macho thing? That's not even hot. Honest to God, when I was younger, I used to be like that. I used to be, I can eat, 10 jalapenos. And then I was like, yeah, but it sucks. Like, why would I do that? I mean, I can live through it, but it doesn't taste good or bring me joy. A nice mild salsa, they'll give that to me every time.
Right? Doesn't taste good or bring you joy.
I've seen words to live by, actually. I've seen people eating those peppers on TV. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to try one. I grew like 4 different pepper plants. Carolina Reapers some apocalyptic thing and I bit one in half and I regretted it, man. I learned a whole new respect for these people that are down in like 30 of them in one sitting. Oh my god.
But what's the point of that? Yeah. They don't taste good.
It's macho.
World
it
fame.
It is. It's like testosterone. Yeah. bringing that to the salsa world?
Yeah, and it's a gal that was winning all these contests too.
Oh, really?
So no masculinity there.
That's really emasculating, actually. Now I feel like less of a man. And here I was leading the charge against masculinity. All right. Well, let's get to why you guys are here. This is exciting. You've got, you know, both of you have been on the show. We've talked, I think, about Bill Rabane. I probably talked about him with both of you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Your
yep.
buddy, J.B. Thompson, who I think introduced me to you guys, or at least to Dan, talked about Bill. He is, it's fun to have a guy like him. Not just in Wisconsin, but in northern Wisconsin. I love that he's a 715 guy living up in the North Woods. It's so cool. And let's talk about him later. But for now, tell me about this event coming up this week in honor of Bill and the Giant Spider Invasion.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be this Friday, October 4th, at the Gerald Opera House in beautiful downtown Wauwega, Wisconsin.
Love
and
it.
how far is that from Appleton, Dan?
It's exactly 30 minutes as the crow
drives. Are you kidding? I thought it was 2 hours.
No, 30 minutes as the crow flies.
Okay.
But as he drives.
As he drives.
Yes.
So
it's a lot closer than folks think. And that's one of the things that we're trying to get people to understand.
Okay.
And it's going to be starting at 7 officially, but we're going to be having a 6 o'clock happy hour, Dan?
Yeah, a cocktail hour.
Meet and greet, if you will.
Yep, meet and greet. And and we're going to have Will Kaiser performing some music there so that we'll get a chance to hear that.
He's Whammy-nominated musician, singer-songwriter. Lived in Nashville for a number of years, but he's an old-school Wisconsinite from northern Wisconsin as well, a 715 guy.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, and he was the music director for Ed Gein the Musical, my film. So he got Whammy-nominated just this past year. And so he's going to play a little music as people have cocktails and meet Bill and meet Craig and just have a good time. And that's at 6 p.m. They have a full bar there.
That sounds like so much fun. Is Bill, like, is he excited about this? He seems like he's probably, like when he was on the show and Craig, you were here to facilitate that, like, he was very engaging. But I get the sense that he's at an age where it would probably take a lot for him to leave his house.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, the whole situation really warms my heart quite a bit because we talk to Bill now almost every night.
Wow.
And whether it's me or Dan or JB calls him a lot. And it's so cool to see that we've re-inspired him.
Yeah, really.
He's getting excited. He's getting some of his scripts out of the dust and looking at turning them into books. Or he'd love to see them all shot.
Sure.
But it's like, oh my God, how do you go about that? You know, 87 years old.
Yeah, 87.
And he wants to be the shooter, he wants to be the director. And it's like, oh wow.
Yeah. He's still sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, physically though, his years are kind of, you know, reaching him and catching up to him. But he's sharp as a tack. He's very articulate, very funny, a very dry sense of humor, and he's brilliant. He is, you know, the godfather of Wisconsin film. And since 1970 with his Windsor
and
Studios.
Even prior to that, he was doing some stuff. But it's just, he's been an inspiration for me ever since I heard about him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you too, Dan. It's like to know that there is a movie mogul here in our state that is making something that's going to last for 50 years and then some.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. They started shooting it in 1974, Giant Spider Invasion. They had Alan Hale Jr., Skipper from Gilligan's Island.
That show was on then, right?
Yeah,
so he was probably like,
the star. He was very famous.
Yeah, okay.
It was the, even though some of the other actors, according to Bill, were equally as famous, he said, but these guys were famous more so in the 50s and 60s. Barbara Hale, who's no relation to Alan Hale, was in Perry Mason for 15 seasons.
And so was Steve Brody.
Steve Brody.
Yeah. So those guys go back to a lot of old TV. If you look at their IMDb, it's like, oh my gosh, they were on all these shows as bit characters, different things like that. And then I think, just looking back at some of Bill's footage, I think he used Steve Brody in a couple commercials. So that's how he kind of got connected to some of these people.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so, anyways.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
How did you guys get connected with Bill? You're two guys in Northeast Wisconsin. He's a couple hours away, maybe?
Really? Yeah, he lives in an igloo. I mean, that's how up north it is. It's a cheese-flavored igloo.
Delish.
Literally.
That's
it's as far as
the
you can get.
The little of this on there.
What is it, like 4.5 hours?
Well, yeah. Oh my gosh. JB went up there to get some footage from Bill, and it was a 9-hour trip just to get up there, and that doesn't even count the time that he spent getting all this stuff on the hard drives. So he was gone for a whole day just to drive up to Saxon and get up there, get all the stuff he needed, and then hightail it back. It's like, wow, quite a dedication.
It's crazy to me you can go 4 hours north of Green Bay and still be in Wisconsin. I guess if you go west.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you guys meet him? How did you, he seems to really kind of trust you guys and is friends with you guys. How did that ball start rolling?
In about the year 2000, I did a film called The Hunt. It was the first feature film that I ever did. And right now, the only feature film that I did myself. You know, I've been tied to a lot of other projects, but that's the one that I did myself, and I sent it up to Bill for his film festival, and he loved it. And it's not the greatest of films, but when we played it in Shawnee, Wisconsin, it sold the theater right out. It was so awesome. And Pete, when you're in a theater, when the movie is geared towards that audience and they're responding, it is joyous. It is absolutely joyous. But I met Bill through that process and then went up to visit him, you know, and made that trek up there and just kind of met him. And just at first he was just an acquaintance, but after a while you start talking to him a little bit more and he'd call you up, and all of a sudden it's like, oh man, I've got a friendship with this guy, which is super cool.
Wow.
And he just had a showing up in Merrill, Wisconsin of his kind of like, all the props and all the campaigns that he did for all his movies, all this artwork, and even a giant spider itself was in this museum showcase. And I went up there for the grand opening, and I brought him a script, a teaser script for the giant spider 2. And I'm like, oh, I was nervous. I was so nervous. I was like, Bill, this is out of respect for you. It's a love letter to you. And I gave it to him, and all of a sudden, that afternoon, I saw him in his vehicle sitting there reading it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, nice.
And then he was watching. Then they showed the giant spider at the local VFW, and he pulled me over. He's like, you know what? I really like that script. We punch it up with some jokes. We could really make something there. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so I came down to Appleton, and I told Dan about this. I was walking on clouds, and Dan is like, you need to make that movie. Stop everything else that you're doing. Give up on these kids that you're teaching. Stop everything in your life.
That'll be fine. What I said.
and you need to write this script. And through that process, Dan started developing your movie.
Yeah.
You know, you had that in motion too, Dearmageddon, the musical. Yeah. And it's like, what if we could get Bill involved?
Yeah.
What if we could get him tied to the project? So all of a sudden we got a chance to meet Bill. And I think you guys were pretty excited to meet him.
Oh, it's amazing. He's literally, like I said before, the godfather of Wisconsin film. He's a legend. When Giant Spider Invasion came out in 1975, it was a top 25 box office film.
Mm.
Right up there with Jaws and Dog Day Afternoon and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Top 25 box office. Made for $300,000 back in 1975. And it also did, according to a lot of different sources, $150 million worth of worldwide box office, which is just amazing. And so that's the 50th anniversary is kind of tying all those things in. And we were able to shoot an intro for it as well, which...
That was cool.
JB and Craig had directed, and our friend Eric O'Branson, who's part of our team, was production manager, and I hosted it. And it was just really kind of cool to get some of that information out there, because people don't realize that was a top 25 box office hit.
That's incredible. And I made the mistake of bringing that up to Bill with the Hollywood Creative Accounting. Cost him a couple nights sleep. So if I ever see him in person, I'll apologize for that.
Some people made big time money off of him in many cases. Yeah. And I think he did well, but I think that that's a little sore subject at times too.
Yeah.
But... because we did that teaser or that introduction with Dan, we noticed that it was crunched a little bit on the DVD. And that's why JB went up north to get the real legit file. And he brought it back down. And Pete, I got my fingers on that.
Nice.
And I've talked to Bill about what I would do to improve that movie because it's so dark in places. You can't see what's going on. And I pulled it into my computer, the file that was generated from the negative.
Yeah.
I pulled it into my computer, started playing with the contrast, started playing with the brightening. And over the course of, I think, two football games ago, and then the rest of the night, I recolored that movie to the point where you can see it.
Boy, it looks brilliant. And, you know, it's been on different formats. It's been on Mystery Science Theater 3000 and a number of different formats. It was so dark. And Craig did an amazing job adding luminosity, adding lumens, adding brightness to it. It just absolutely looks gorgeous.
Probably stuff they didn't have access to, back then to do it that easily or whatever.
You're right. That's true. And we are going to be showing it in Wyawega as it's never been seen before.
Oh, that's nice too.
So that'll be really exciting.
All right. Dan Davies in here. Dan Davies and Craig Kinnett are here. They're going to tell you next how you can get tickets to this really cool event on Friday. And then there's something Saturday too, I believe. So we'll discuss that too. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. He's always a glass half full guy. My favorite Halloween candy is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. My least favorite is a tie between Airheads and Laffy Taffy. Right. On the side, if you treat Milk Duds, Conrad, like hard candy and just suck on them, they're not bad.
It takes a while till I get through that, though.
Jim is mining for anything positive about the Milk Dud. I love it. That's great. Dan Davies and Craig Kinnett are here. We're talking about an event they are sponsoring, putting together in Wyawega this weekend in honor of Wisconsin director Bill Rabane and his film, The Giant Spider Movie. How can people get tickets to this? Tell us a little bit about the event, what we can expect on Friday and then Saturday as well, and how can people get to see it?
Sure. So we have a Facebook event under the 50th anniversary screening of Giant Spider Invasion. They can go to WegaArts.org. Is probably the best way to go about it. And that's in Wyawega, Gerald Opera House. If you get, you know, a Google search with some of those things, it'll direct you towards their phone number. I think it's actually, I have it memorized, 715-258. Oh, wait, I don't. Good try. God, 720-867-4888, I think.
Let's say that one more time.
Yeah, just so 920. I just 867 4888.
I'll tell you what.
Dan, give us a website. That's my mom's phone number.
How did I get
doing?
That?
How did
I always
you get
knew
that?
You two would get together. so is there a website people can go?
There is. Do a search for Wega Arts. We've got a really good Facebook showing for what we're trying to do, but that's pretty much. Maybe we're irresponsible that way, but or just show up.
Just show up. You got a lot of tickets sold already, but there's a lot still available.
Yep. So and we do have VIP tickets too, Pete. Where if you want like the best seating, and you'd be surprised at how many people are buying those right now. We've got almost half of those tickets that we've sold are VIP tickets because they're fans.
And they're VIP tickets. They're autographed by Bill Rabane. The tickets themselves.
Yep.
And then there are also preferred seating in the front of the theater. The theater can hold about 300 people.
Okay.
And it's really cool. It was built in 1915 by a protege of William Waters, who was a famous architect here in Wisconsin. It's a really cool building. And they've kind of redesigned it and repurposed it, and it's absolutely gorgeous. So it's going to be fun. We've got Nava Mirage Dance Troupe. And they're doing a special giant spider dance. And then we have Will Kaiser, like I said before, is going to be singing. And we've got some short films that we're both involved with. One of them is called The Intervention.
Nope, it's called The Inheritance. The intervention, I need
great.
To shoot that one. I need to make that one yet. But the fun thing about The Inheritance, Pete, is that it was shot in the Gerald Opera House.
Oh, nice.
So you're going to be able to turn around and go, oh, my God, that's the bar in this movie right there up on the screen. And it's also going to be playing at the Wyawega Film Festival in a month or so.
So did that go away for a while and then come back?
No, that one's been around. Okay. Ian and Kathy are phenomenal at keeping, you know, at advocating for film in the state of Wisconsin and the arts in general.
Oh, I'd love to talk to them. That's great.
Yeah, let's get them on. Let's get them on. They would love to do that.
They're very smart, very articulate. And the second film is the proof of concept Sizzler that we did for a full-length feature film called Dirmageddon the Musical.
Right.
And the proof of concept is called Rise of Dirmageddon. And it is a musical. It's a 15-minute short film that's exceptionally well done. Actually, Craig is in it, plays Coach Sam Johnson.
And Dan is in it as the lead star.
And I play a washed-up ex-football player who's alcoholic and bald. So, again, typecasting.
You're not bald, dude.
Yeah, that's my toupee. I get them for my films and things. So, but it was fun filming. We filmed it at a bar restaurant in Appleton, Menasha, called Primetime, and they left us to our own devices in the bar restaurant.
Oh, that's so great.
It's called Dirmageddon, and it's very, very funny. So we're gonna have that world premiere there, and it's just gonna be a good night.
So Dan, what's the deal? You wrote Ed Gein the musical.
Yes.
Dirmageddon is a musical. Where does that come from? I assume you have a music background.
So I do. I was in at Wapaka High School. I was in their musicals. But literally with J.B. Thompson, I had this idea for a film and talked to Eric O'Branson about it. We kind of commiserated. And then I was able to talk to J.B. I said, J.B., you write it. I said, I've got the story, but you put all the time and effort into it. I'm going to start drinking.
You did
drinking.
The hard part.
Yeah, I did the hard part. Now it's time for me to drink. And he did an amazing job writing a really well-crafted story for the Dirmageddon, the musical. And it's actually a musical. And it's
That's
wonderful.
So cool.
It's funny. It's kind of a Rocky. We call it the Citizen Kane of zombie deer musicals.
That's JB was here the other night. He's the guy behind the guy. That's what I call him.
Oh, yeah.
The guy behind the guy behind the guy.
He is genuinely one of the sweetest people in the world. Drives me crazy.
I didn't get that, but no, very nice guy. Sherry, you guys have some fans on the stream here. Sherry Burgess Olson says, excited to watch your next guest. Well, thank you, Sherry, and thanks for watching and tuning in over the stream. And then a text from Dirmageddon the Musical. Dan and Craig both starred in The Rise of Dirmageddon the Musical. And did you kick Craig outside?
What happened?
No, he's not. Oh, maybe the stream. It looks like
because
he's in
I'm
a different
outside.
Window.
I'm in the closet.
It looks like
right
you're
now.
Out on the street on so, Main Street.
Yeah,
or Washington.
What did you just say?
I'm out in the closet here. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a big walk-in closet. You got a big space over there, buddy. So, all right. So we're gonna. Can you guys hang for another segment?
We would love to.
Right,
we would love to.
We're gonna talk about what we're watching. We're gonna talk about the climate of filmmaking here in Wisconsin and Northeast Wisconsin with two guys who are in the thick of it. And it's something I absolutely love to talk about. Great to have these guys here. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Civic Media's award-winning news is coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.